the scenes, behind the glass. There's no sports, it's Matt and Matt. Two producers who happen to be homies, just chowing on the junkies, yeah. It's Bit Season, what a time to be alive. Bit Season, couple of regular guys. It's Bit Season, go have yourself a laugh. It's Bit Season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
What was that?
I don't know. Usually you're more shot out of a cannon on the opening of Bit Season.
I felt like a little frog in my throat or something. Hope everyone's doing great.
Yeah, this is a Wednesday edition of Bit Season.
Why is that?
Mental health day tomorrow. No, I have a planned day off tomorrow. I am I'm doing some family stuff with my brother.
Oh, you mean playing golf?
Yes, with Michael Myers. He cordially invited me to his company's outing, and it's at 8 a.m. in the morning, basically in Baltimore. And I asked you if there's anyone who could fill in for me. It means a lot to him that that his team shows out well in this company event.
So he brought in a ringer.
Basically.
Wants to impress his boss with his skilled brother.
Hey, you know what they say? There's a lot of deals are closed on the golf course.
Yeah, maybe he's looking for that promotion.
Maybe. So I asked permission for Thursday, and I will not be in on Thursday. Which is kind of like a gut punch.
Why?
Because I feel like the show has a little momentum in this the match part one that we're building right now.
You mean your beef with Toby?
Yes, my beef with Toby.
Yeah,
which we got into.
It is not a great day to be out because I thought we were going to do more of a follow up tomorrow.
I know. I didn't plan for this to happen.
You didn't plan for a beef?
I didn't plan for a feud.
What do you make of everyone calling you sensitive? Let's just get right to it. And why are you so sensitive?
It's just how I am. It's probably my biggest downfall. Is that I seek the approval of every single person, and I can't compartmentalize that. I don't know.
But
I'm seeking. That's what it is. Is I'm seeking approval.
If you,
I want everyone to be hunky dory. No, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest. I don't really know if you're upset or not.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know if you're actually annoyed at Toby.
No. Toby.
Were you honestly annoyed at Toby, or did you just kind of like understand that it was you could build on something on that?
I was annoyed. I singled out Toby, and I said this on the show. And if you didn't hear, go back and listen to the podcast when I vented on air. I was annoyed. Like, we're on the same team, dude. Like, can't you see that everyone else is gangbanging me right now? why don't you sit this one out?
But don't you think that Toby feels like he's part of the team? So if we can join on each other.
He didn't read the room. Like, if people are jumping down your throat, Drab, about, I don't know, your hair transplant or tennis or something that you did.
That I care about. Okay.
Yeah, something that you care about. Maybe coaching your twin soccer. Like, people are calling you a shitty head coach.
Ooh, all right.
I know what gets you going, and I would read the room, and I know I would be your hype man.
Yeah, well, I say you have to remember, Toby not included, that people just want to feel a part of, like, they hear us joning, so they think they get the green light.
I know, we talked about it a billion times before, yeah. And I've been better about just letting it slide, but like I said, it reached the boiling point, and Toby's unassuming characteristics. And him being such a nice guy and us being friendly to one another at work and at the radio station made me fly off the handle at him.
I don't think you flew off the handle. You just offered him $1,000 or $100 a hole.
Well, I was like, I wasn't going to say it.
I mean, I would have done that too if I was you.
I know. I still stick by it.
Are you going to play Toby for $100 a hole?
Or no, it's not going to be $100
a hole. $10
a hole. Well, like we said, we'll find some sort of bet.
Hey, I saw a great, I think either someone texted it in or tweeted it, a good payoff for whoever loses.
What's that?
The loser at the end of the round, okay. The 19th hole, not all the 19th hole, whatever, you go back to 18-1 again, and he has to lay down and pull his pants down, and you put a tee in your butt, and you take a drive off his butt.
We could definitely do that.
Now that is good content.
I mean,
video content, the potential for a mishap, the embarrassment of having your cheeks all over the internet. It's a great.
I am down for that. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Okay,
but it's gotten to the point where I've. So I feel better after venting and joning on Toby and offering the challenge out there. I definitely feel better about it. But at this point, I know we got to follow through on the content portion of it.
That's where we always fall short. We talk a big game, but sometimes we don't follow through.
I'll do it. But I'm not. I mean, do I like? I got to schedule it. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, you have a home course. You said Hidden Creek. You got to schedule it with Mar or me, whoever you want to come out there. I mean, can we do it 9 holes? Do we have to do 18 holes? I might ride it all along for 9.
You're not going to stay for all 18?
18 holes?
I mean, that's how...
It's going to be 9 and 8 anyways, or whatever you go. 8 and 9, or whatever you guys call it.
That's a butt whooping.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to play 18 holes. That's like saying...
Can we do a match play? Then we don't need your actual score. Let's do a...
You would do a match play.
Okay. I'd come out for it. But Mar and I... Yeah. Yeah. I'm sized.
I know, but we got to figure out who's going to video it. We also... What we should do is we have the match.
Is this like a live stream the entire time?
I don't know.
Grant Horvath.
I'm actually impressed you pulled that name. I mean, I know you Googled that earlier today.
No, I didn't. I hadn't. I know Evie's mentioned his name, and I know he's a dumb golf influencer.
This is what I actually think should happen. I think the production of it would be better, but we video it and we make it a YouTube
exclusive,
and we put it together. So it's like like a 40-minute episode or movie, or you know what I mean?
I love it. I love
and
it.
And we have to keep a tight-lipped about it. Yeah. And then like after the editing's done, we drop it and then we can talk about it on the radio.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Hey, can you do me a favor?
Just because, to be honest with you, a lot of people aren't going to want to watch a 4-hour live stream thing. When you know what I mean,
it
needs to be condensed and it needs to be edited.
I will be involved if you do one thing for me,
okay.
And that means I'll walk the entire time. I'll do commentary. Yeah. I'll get cakes to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we post it on the Team 980 YouTube because we're simulcast on 980.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and we are trying to build our subscriber base.
But Mar works for the fans one.
Mar works for Odyssey.
Okay.
We'll put it on the fans a day later or something.
Okay, but the exclusive is on the Team 980?
Yeah, that's my idea.
You know, if you agree to my terms,
mm-hmm.
where like I just think it would be better content. Like, people are going to tune out if we do a live stream for four hours.
You're right. 30-40 minute video.
Yeah, I mean, that's the attention span people have.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, hour at most. I think that's the...
Could this be done on like a Saturday?
Is
the course booked?
I mean, in the summer, a Saturday is...
Well, all you have to do is book the round, right? Don't you golf on Saturday all the time?
Yeah.
And can Toby just be your partner? And
yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, and I would just say, hey, we're having a match. They want to ride along for it, and we film it.
Hey, let me ask you something about golf.
Okay.
If you and me went to a public course.
All right.
And we wanted to ride together.
Okay.
Are you and me, I saw this, I couldn't believe this. Are you and me being each charged a cart fee?
Yes.
Why wouldn't there be one cart fee for their group?
I don't know.
What that is a racket.
I know some places. I think Hidden Creek doesn't do that though. Like you, if someone just gets the cart, they don't charge the other person.
That's good. That's highway robbery.
Like the cart fee is $25. Mm-hmm. You would charge both people, so it ends up being $50.
Yeah.
But
they're sharing a cart.
I know.
Yeah.
Some places will charge you twice. Other places do not. So
I heard that Mike Marr, after his stellar performance being the hype man yesterday, got an invite to an exclusive golf club, right?
Yeah.
An exclusive club with you and Chuck Lee.
Yes.
And who else?
Chuck's accountant.
is Marr going to, would Marr embarrass the team at a legit place?
What do you mean?
Like a country club or whatever.
Is it going to be embarrassing for Marr at...
Embarrassing for you that he's like your tag-along guy or no?
No. No. Also, this is also it's a business expense for Chuck because mm-hmm. Chuck's accountant is a huge fan of the show.
Oh, okay.
So this is like he's getting a hero time. Up close and personal hero time.
I wanted to bring something up about Marr and his outfit.
Okay.
I'm dying for cotton polos to come back in style.
Like the beefy tees?
Well, just like the heavy cotton. Now, some of this is me projecting, right? Because okay. I'm not ripped or anything like that. So I've told you for years, first off, I don't like the patterns of all these polos that are out there, the repeating pattern graphic, right? Like yeah, you have a crab 1,000 times in your shirt. I think it looks terrible. But I also am not a fan. Like, how did we pull this dupe where cotton isn't breathable, isn't a good fabric? I'm a big fan of cotton. I've been a cotton stan. Don't you remember George Costanza in the Yankees?
Yes, Yankees uniform. Who could forget?
Right?
I think
polyester is hot. Plus, they're not very – those shirts are not flattering unless you are thin or ripped or – like I wouldn't say you're thin, but you have a good solid chest about you. This is me, okay? This is just me. Cakes had some little man boobs in the photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't wear shirts. You can't wear golf polos like that.
I'll tell you exactly how that trend took over.
It's not
the breathability of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a facade. That's the cover. It's sweat.
Moisture wicking.
Yes. Okay. So the cotton it doesn't make you sweat. It mm-hmm. absorbs the sweat.
Right.
So you have the pit stains, you have the underboob a sweat, while the other material may not be as flattering looking, but at least you don't have a stain under your left hip.
I got you. Well, I'm not sweater. I don't sweat.
See,
so I think I might could be a cotton polo guy.
So I'm more of a sweater than you are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can pull it off, like I have cotton polo golf shirts that I wear. Grayson makes a great cotton polo golf shirt. You should look into investing in them. And it feels great. I love wearing it in the fall when it's cooler and I'm not sweating as much.
Okay.
But in the summertime, it's not hot, but if I'm walking around in it, you'll see my pits leaking all over the place.
I just thought I thought Marr looked sharp too. The style. I like the throwback look of it.
I felt sorry for Marr yesterday.
Why?
Because yesterday, the Purple Heart Open is Marr's Super Bowl, mm-hmm. right? This day is all about him. Like I know that going into it. Usually,
you are very benevolent when it comes to the Purple Heart Open because it really is beneath you.
It's not beneath me. No. It's not beneath me.
Maybe
it's like
beneath
it's
a circus.
Like I said on the show when I was arguing against Toby. I am an advocate. I'm a golf advocate. So I will do anything in my willpower to grow the game, like your hair. Okay.
All right. Dr. Burka.
All right. I'm trying to grow the game. I want, if you don't play golf and you're a friend of mine, and I want more
people to play golf.
Yes, I want more people to play golf. It's a great bonding. It's great business. It's fun. You know, it's a way to get outside for 5 hours, 4 hours. I love it. I love it. And I will do anything I can to accommodate people who don't play. And when you play and you don't play often, and then when Mar, who's like Mar could give up golf tomorrow because he's just like, he's not good at it. Mm-hmm. And when you're frustrated, I think quitting comes to mind. Like you don't, like, why the fuck am I out here for 4 hours when I can't put the ball in the air?
Yeah.
Like,
even good players have that thought.
Even good players will dribble the ball around for a couple holes. So I do anything in my willpower to encourage you. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to have fun. That's my main objective.
And that's what I'm saying. It's beneath you because you don't have to do that when you're out your sticks.
No, no. It's because you have golf training wheels. All my buddies, they can ride their bike without the training wheels. I don't need to coach them. Like they're already off and doing their own thing. Like they don't need positive reinforcement because they already have the golf bug.
Right. But
so, and then that's why I treat you like that. And that's why I treat Mar like that. That's why I treat Cakes like that. Cause I know you guys don't golf often. Like JP golfs often. I don't need to do that with JP. Like he already plays.
Were you reading JP's putts yesterday?
JP is so impatient. He wouldn't let me do it.
Well, I have that down here in my notes, and it's something that we really couldn't. You can't really get into this with JP on the show because then it's not going
to
be fun.
It's just it'll lead to an argument.
But there were some conversations had in the producer studio this morning about JP's behavior on the course, and I've been dying to get the real skinny. Okay. You guys teased me about it a little bit.
Yes.
But I know you so well that you didn't want to bring it up on the show because it would have been JP denying it and arguing with you in a competition to see who's right.
Yes.
But he's not here to slam the brakes on it. All right.
Okay.
So this is me doing this. I'm asking.
All right. You want the real deal?
Yes.
You want the true?
I want the truth.
You want the true Hollywood story?
Yeah. All right. What was it like? Because there was some hesitancy from the group. And there is every time that JP wants to get involved in the Purple Heart. And I'm going to say that's a drab saying, okay?
Okay.
And this is not a secret. JP ruined, this is my feeling, JP ruined a previous Purple Heart.
Yes, by bringing in ringers.
3 years ago when we had a friendly competition.
Yes.
Of the Hack Fest.
Yes.
Of me, Valdez, Cowboy Todd.
No, I think it was me, you, Cakes, and Pete Haley.
Oh, Pete Haley, yeah.
Yes. Right.
Against JP.
And then JP's crew. However, JP's crew consisted of players on the Hooters tour.
Yeah. We talked, I think Cakes was on JP's team.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right.
Because Cakes brought his own listener.
Yes.
Adam from MGM National.
Yes. So basically they had two scratch golfers on their team. And they ended up winning. This is my...
But he's so competitive that he ruined the Purple Heart that year. And we said, maybe exclusive in secret, we would never play with JP again because of his behavior that day.
I've played with JP before.
I'm dying to know the real details. Right, unburden yourself.
We had the best score, I think, as a station foursome for the Purple Heart, I think, in our history.
That bothers me.
I know it does. It bothers me a little bit,
but
we shot 9 under par.
Do you know how many? Do you know that JP's going to bring that up all the time?
What, that it was the best?
Yeah, the best score is when me and Valdez played together.
With Mar and Gates get shortchanged. But I will say this: I would have rather shot 2 under or 4 under and kept our original foursome.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. What happened? Okay. Give me the details. You seemed a little flustered when I was pecking for information this morning.
It's just everyone knows JP's competitive, and like this, and
but don't,
like,
but don't and like you I don't, want that on your team? If you're going against him,
I know. Look, I know going into that thing, we don't have a team that will win. Like with Cakes playing, with Mar playing, like, I know we're not going into that trying to finish a top three. Like, I just, I just know we're not. I've already come to that conclusion. Even if we're five under on the front, I already know the conclusion is like
a burnout.
Yeah. Our team's just not cut out to win it. And that's why my main goal is making sure everyone has fun. That's why I make sure the playlist is cranking. I'm making sure Mar is liquored up. I'm making sure no one's getting sunburnt. I'm complimenting everybody. I'm doing the best I can to read putts.
Have you ever thought about, before we get back to JP, of commandeering the foursome one year just to win?
Just to I could, dude, we would win.
Right, because it doesn't seem
we would
like
actually, if I put together my foursome,
yeah,
all right, we would beat the cheaters. We're just. I'm sorry.
What's the grand prize? What do you win for?
I don't know. Like a plaque.
Oh, that's it. There's no money.
There's no money prize. You can't do a money prize in a scramble because you'll end up. I mean, the cheating will be so obnoxious.
Yeah.
That everyone will just do whatever they can to win the money. If you're in a charity scramble or a scramble, and there's a first place, second place money prize, just leave immediately. You're going to waste your day. Someone's not even going to play. They're going to pencil whip it and write down the 23 under.
Okay,
like that's just what's going to happen. But JP is so competitive. Like I'm trying to do is encourage Mar, and JP is like breaking him down. It's like he's like a golf drill instructor. Like he's like Mar hits a shitty shot. And so I'm trying to pick him up and I'm saying, all right, no worries. Next shot, we'll get it. I'll get us on the green. Or, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'll take care of it.
You and EB are elite at that. On the course of being a hype man and making you feel like everything's going to be okay. Like, don't worry. Don't slam your club. We're just out here having a good time.
Right. We're playing grab ass.
Yeah.
You know, there's worse things we could be doing at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Playing golf for free, yeah.
But JP, what he does is he goes, that's your shot?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, he says that. He goes, well, that's not good. He's like, oh, Valdez has a lot of pressure on him now. Like, I get it, JP. No one hit the green or no one's close. I understand the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't out golf me. You can't like out golf talk me. I understand the situation very fully. But I felt bad. Like Mar knows he's not good.
Was Mar not having a good time because of that?
No, because
he's above JP's.
I think his attitude is great and he can rebound from that. And I think me like being his hype man and everything, having cart talk with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Playing him getting control of the aux anytime he's upset and he goes like I know when he's down if I play Morgan Wallen he'll get right back up.
Hey, what was the song of the day that he alluded to?
Oh, Nickelback.
Animals. Oh yeah, Nickelback. That's right. Yeah.
And that came on and he was jumping.
He got a second life when he heard that.
But it's just his. So JP's competitiveness just takes over, okay. Mm-hmm. And then also, JP's impatience takes over. And what do I mean by that?
Yeah.
So you know how typically when we do our Purple Heart foursome, we're like, okay, Cakes is going to go first, then Drab, then Mar, then Drab, then you know what I mean? Like, there's a certain order to the foursome.
Cakes,
and it's because Cakes hits it the shortest. But probably hits it the straightest out of the three other people that are there. Like there's a particular thing to the order.
Mm-hmm. It's been established.
Yes, and same with putting. Cakes is the worst putter. So instead of wasting,
you don't want him being the closer,
right? Or even being second or third because Cakes doesn't get the ball to the hole. Ever. Right. Okay.
You waste the read on his ball.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we're basically using his putt as a guinea pig putt.
Okay.
All right. But JP is so impatient. All right. And I'm trying to include everyone in green reading and everything too. Like, hey, do you see this? like coming this way? Do you think this is too far out? Do you think if we go here with pace, it would be better? If trying to diet like that, like I'm trying to include everybody. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's awful if you just if I just run up to the green and I say hit it here. Like I'm trying, like I want everyone to be in it together. We're a team. Mm-hmm. But JP,
that's
so
part of the process. But isn't there a group in front of you? Like, why are you so impatient? There's nowhere to go.
I mean, the group in front of us was playing pretty quick. Like there wasn't that much waiting around. There's a couple of holes that were bottlenecked, but yeah. it wasn't that bad. But JP feels the need. Like we're talking about the putt and like he's literally already has his ball down ready to hit it before like anyone's like gathered to at the ball to get ready to hit. He's like, he's just, he literally has his tee in the ground at the tee box before any, and had already hit before anyone walks up to the tee box to like get eyes on his ball. Like maybe like we want to favor a certain side of the fairway.
Doesn't he know that the day's not ending until all four of you guys compete 18 holes?
I don't know. I think maybe what he's doing is he's trying to be a pace car. Maybe if he's playing fast, we'll play faster.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's might have something to do with it.
Mm.
But it was frustrating.
Why is that? Is it because it's a competition to him to see if he can play a round of golf?
Well, I that's just his personality where you know what I mean? Like he wants, like you said, he wanted the Eastern Conference Finals over already.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like he's just, he can't wait for something to happen. He's impatient. That's just, he's impatient. And golf isn't the sport.
Isn't that.
It isn't that. He also violated bro code.
Well, that actually, I'm glad that we're on the same page of, because I saw that and I was a little disappointed that Cakes brought it up himself. Maybe Cakes was trying to defuse a situation.
Right.
But I actually was, without knowing anything, it jumped out at me when I saw the commentary on Facebook.
So you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it on Facebook, but it actually, like,
maybe I'm wrong.
He's here. A tattletale.
He's kind of, it's a don't ask, don't tell.
Yes.
All right. And what we're talking about is that if you look at the Facebook photo with all the mean comments about everyone's clothes or weight or whatever, it's posture. There was a comment that said, how many heaters did Mike Marr smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And JP jumps in and says, Mike Marr 4-5, Valdez and Cakes 1. All right. That, in the, like, unless he went to Cakes and said, hey, can I tell people on Facebook that you're smoking cigarettes?
Cakes, by the way, who had a cigarette addiction.
Yeah, Cakes, who had a massive cigarette addiction that we know that his wife was not happy about, right? And got him to quit.
Amy definitely frowns upon, like, yes. Cakes having at an appearance.
I know that. Yeah. And Cakes, I know that Cakes hasn't smoked cigarettes in years. Also, bad radio instincts by JP there. If Cakes does something that he hasn't done in 10 years, he should not have said that on Facebook, even Cakes gave him the green light. That's something that you tell EB about on the show the next day. You tease it.
Uh-huh.
Cakes did something yesterday he hasn't done in a decade. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
But
all right,
I know we're doing a lot of golf talk on this episode.
That's fine. That's what happened on the show this week.
Next week
we're going to be doing a lot of hair talk. Dr. Burka bumped to next week. He had something come up.
But the golf course. To a guy, mm-hmm. is basically like the locker room.
Mm.
What happens there stays there.
Oh, it's like Vegas. It's
Vegas. All right. Well, you're like, what do you mean by that, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about
what happens on the golf course.
I'm talking about maybe some dudes are smoking some wacky tobacco.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cakes taking a puff of cig. Maybe people are drinking, maybe drinking a little too much on the course.
All right. Like this is private. Like this is a gentleman's.
Yes, there's an honor code to this. Maybe some dude took his cock out and is peeing in the bushes. Okay? And they're pissing all over the place.
Maybe the married guy is flirting with the cart girl.
Maybe some guy got caught staring at the cart girl's tits.
Right? Yeah. It's 100% right. You cannot break the bros code. What happens on the course stays on the course,
yeah,
right?
You know what? Maybe you're making inappropriate comments about women.
Okay. All right. Are there any slurs mentioned?
There's a couple derogatory words said on the golf course.
Uh-huh. Anything goes.
And yes, it's a safe haven for men. All right.
Right.
And maybe you're talking about somebody's wife in an ill manner.
Gossip, a lot of gossip.
Yeah, gossip. Maybe. Yeah.
Golf course. Do women know that?
Maybe we just broke bro code by telling them that.
I think they know that. But just in generalities, it's where boys will be boys.
Yes. I expect the same thing when women go and get their nails done together.
Right.
My guess is there's a lot of
girls' night. They're out there. They're talking.
They're drinking rosé and shitting on dudes.
They're shitting on their husbands.
Yes,
of course.
Yeah, they're talking about how small their husband's cock is.
Right. Or they don't get enough attention.
Right.
He's out.
I think my coworker Gary's super cute.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what George was wearing in the office?
So if you think about your girlfriend then going on Twitter and then talking about what she did was disgusting in public, like you'd be like, whoa, that's what JP did. You absolutely cannot go on Facebook and just tell everyone that Cakes is smoking cigarettes.
Yes, or even cig counting Mar. Like, why are you cig counting?
Yeah. Right?
is he keeping a tally on the scorecard after each hole?
Everything's a competition. Oh, he was doing that?
No.
I'm just saying,
like, how many, like, how would you even know? I had no idea how many cigarettes.
I have no idea.
Are you that fucking observant that you're keeping a tally on Mike Mars' cigarette count?
Yeah.
that's absurd.
That is.
You. This is what I would say. When you're a guy and you're at a golf course, the last thing you need to do is watch your P's and Q's when you're around somebody.
Right.
That's like you shouldn't have to be on high alert.
Well, I'm glad we brought that up because I wanted to transition a little bit. All right, we're still talking golf here, as we're talking about boys will be boys on the golf course.
Yeah.
What kind of dud? Weekend at EB spend in Chicago with a bunch of squares.
No. I respect that.
No.
I respect that.
That sounded so boring.
No. I've been on golf trips where there's been some nefarious things going on.
I know because I talked to our buddy Greg last weekend. Okay.
Yes.
Greg told me what happened at the Gents Cup.
Did he tell you about the satchel?
Yes. He told me about the satchel. All right. That's the kind of golf trip I want to be on.
Yeah. Did he show you the video?
He didn't show me the video. Our Valdez's former roommate and a newer friend of mine, Greg. Okay, he's on the Gents Cup squad, all right? I'm going to botch all the details.
Okay.
But what I was told is that Greg said that he was wearing a man's purse type thing, right?
A satchel.
A satchel across his chest.
Yes.
While he's playing or like did he on
no,
the course?
No. After hours.
Oh, after. I thought he said that he wore it on the course. Like he brings it on the course to keep his.
Oh, maybe he did that for his phone and wallet. I don't know. But he had it after. He was wearing it afterwards after we all had showered and were hanging out that day.
Oh, so it's like an all day thing. It's a statement piece.
Yeah. It's a fashion accessory.
And so. I may have heard incorrectly.
Okay. You probably heard correctly.
But I was told that at the end of the night, after the beers had been flowing and drinks, that like zippers were being pulled down and guys were pulling out their bags or something like that and trying to touch the satchel. I don't know what happened. What details can you give me about the satchel foreplay?
I don't know. I don't know how much.
And don't say any names.
I'm not going to say names. But I just know someone, in order to get the satchel, someone made someone strip.
Okay. A lot of grab ass. Yeah, is that safe to say?
It's grab ass. But that's why I respect EB.
No, hold on. No. Hold on.
Oh, you want more satchel story?
No, but yeah. Don't make me come too quick.
Okay.
I heard that you were involved in the shenanigans.
Yes, I was sitting right there.
Okay, so
I had a front row seat to the satchel.
You took a golf trip.
Yes.
You guys were drinking and having fun or whatever.
Yes,
I don't
and
even
a man,
know.
And a man ended up naked.
And a man got naked and everyone's high-fiving and pulling their Johnsons out.
There's only one Johnson out.
You guys are docking. Or I don't know what happened. I just know that you were involved laughing, encouraging.
Yes, of course.
Saying, yeah, do it, all right?
Yes.
And then you're going to tell me that you respect Bickle's golf weekend in Chicago.
No, that's how I know fun was had.
Okay, well, tell me the difference, all right?
Because when you're that muted, you know stuff was going down. When they said, yeah, I went on a golf trip, we just play a lot of golf, I know something happened. I know.
You really? You don't think that...
No, not for one second.
Oh, so he's got tight lips over there like how you're supposed to.
Yes, this guy doesn't break interrogation.
No. Okay.
Come on.
He's giving us the wife treatment.
Yes, he's giving us the wife treatment. Don't ask, don't tell.
I'm too stupid.
You're the dumbest person ever.
I didn't pick up on that?
Yes. You don't even understand that?
No, I didn't.
Are you dumb? You might be dumb.
But Bickle's too honest. Bickle's too honest of a guy. I should have asked him off air.
You should have asked him off air.
What really happened?
You're taking it on air. He goes... Yeah, we just played a lot of golf, and we had one nice dinner. Are you dumb?
Okay.
They're sitting there playing soggy biscuit or something.
I don't know. Because his friend Tom is like a hard ass. Tom's like went to Notre Dame. He's too buttoned up. He's
no,
a man.
Tom's got the mouth of a sailor.
Really?
They were joking and smoking around. I wonder what type of hypotheticals were brought up after hours.
Oh.
I
should have known when Bickle said he only had two drinks or something like
that. Yeah, come on.
Why is he giving us the wife treatment?
No, he did that on air. We didn't ask him off air.
We would have gotten
the...
Should I text him?
We got the wife treatment on air.
Oh, we got it.
We got the PG version.
All right, when you're back on Friday, I won't ask him tomorrow, okay? I'll respect your absence. When you're back on Friday, when he walks in here at 5:58, all right?
You're going to say, hey.
We walk in there together.
What really happened
I want to know what really happened in Chicago.
Tell me what really happened in Chicago.
All right, but if he says, I swear on my mom's life, I swear on my kid's life, that we didn't have any, you know, we didn't play any grab ass. We didn't do anything fun. No drinking. Will you still respect that or no?
No, this is what you need to ask. What were the topics of conversation? Because Eric's too homophobic to play grab ass.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
But the topic of conversations are going to be like, Jet fuel doesn't melt beams or whatever. Like, that's not interesting.
The temperature metal melt?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I want to know what shenanigans happened in Chicago.
We need a shenanigan follow-up.
Okay, yeah. All right. I can't believe that I missed what we just talked about. About the diversion tactics. But I just thought that he would tell us that we're in the inner circle.
We're in the inner circle.
Yeah.
You would think so. Well, no.
That
no.
was so
no, no,
good
no,
no. by Bickle. I didn't even question it.
You didn't. No. This is what you're not understanding. Hmm. We are in the inner circle and he would tell us. But his three other friends, like, we don't have a relationship with his three other friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he has to protect those. Even if Eric is our friend, he has to protect those on the trip.
Okay. Because to me, a straight golf trip where like no beers are being had, no grab ass, and you're just going home, you're talking about your round while you're playing, then you go home and you recap your round,
yes.
And then you go to bed. That sounds like torture to me. Hey, 36 holes of...
Hey, did you see when I went on my golf trip to Kiowa? Did you see my inside look at the house afterwards at late night?
I don't remember, no.
Where we're playing dice for dollars. I probably lost about $101 bills mm-hmm. when we're playing okay. dice. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's like,
the stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Is the golf trip more about the golf or just the
depends.
The night?
Depends. Camp? Depends.
Sounds like the Gents Cup is not about golf.
No, it's not.
Hey, and what's up with Greg? Is Greg like the white or the black sheep or whatever you want to call it?
What do you mean?
Why is he getting picked on?
What do you mean he's getting picked on?
About the satchel.
Oh, no, no, no.
Because eyes, Greg's a big seal.
No. It was our friend's curiosity about the satchel
he's got curiosity about something else. All right. The good golf talk. I'm glad I just remember about that.
40 minutes of golf talk. Hey,
Gents Cup.
Hey, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about Don't Sleep. And also, I have a very, very, very hot Livy Dunn take I want to get your opinion on.
Oh, I'm very intrigued. All right.
Let's reset, take a little break, go through our satchels, and then we'll talk about Livy Dunn.
All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 174. Before we get into the second half of the show, gotta let you know that this episode is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Support me, support Drabby. Go to don'tsleepenergy.com right now. And when you get there, use that promo code Bitties and save 10% off every single order. You can get the sugar-free 12-ounce cans. You can get a little 2-ounce energy shot. Don'tsleepenergy.com or Amazon Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Support us. Support me. Support Drabby. Support our listener, Mike. Get some today. Throw some in your cart. Order right now.
Love Don't Sleep.
Yes.
Do we need more? I think we need more.
You know what? We do need more.
All right. That's a cry for help to Mike.
That's the bat signal.
And it usually comes. Credit to Mike. He always hears this and says it.
He always follows through. Love I really Mike. Appreciate that. All right, I want to share something with you that I noticed online mm-hmm. that who's the hottest chick in the world right now? It's got to be Livy Dunn.
Well, she's right? up there.
Right?
A-Watt always gets mad at me because I actually called her the hottest chick on earth on the Junkies one time, and A-Watt is not a big fan of her.
I find her extremely attractive.
She's extremely attractive.
But I noticed something the other day that I'm not a fan of. I'm just going to say it right now. I'm not a fan of it.
Of her look?
It's something physical, but not her look.
She too petite?
I mean, she does have that gymnast body.
Mm-hmm.
She's a short knocker, but that's not it either. You know she was doing like the SI swimsuit like runway thing, right?
Yes, I did see that.
That's been a big to do. She's been modeling a bunch of different swimsuits, mm-hmm. and she
I thought it's her. I think her swimsuit was ugly or something. I don't. There was something about it that wasn't
the one with the big red ribbons.
Yes, it's polka dots or something.
It was a weird. It was different. Mm-hmm. Maybe
it looked a little off.
We didn't appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't a traditional swimsuit. But
yeah, but she's hot 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, of course, she made the swimsuit.
Right.
But she's walking. She's doing the catwalk and everything, mm-hmm. and walking down that. Strutting her stuff. She has an amazing strut.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, when she's in that swimsuit, like that polka dot red ribbon swimsuit, she does this massive gymnast split at the end, showing off her gymnastic skills.
Yeah, I like that.
It is the most unattractive thing I've ever seen in my life.
Why? Why?
I don't, maybe it's just, it's foreign to me, but doing the split is unnatural. Like, the body should not contort like that. Like, it's, the body's not meant for the legs to be 180 degrees. It's,
well, kind of, but what's hot about
it's it's gross. It's gross.
It's not gross. She wasn't like doing a double jointed, like turn her elbow around.
No. That's
gross.
No.
Cause you're imagining broken bones.
I just think about the kid in middle school that could always pop their shoulder in and out of their socket. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how Mel Gibson could like get out of the straitjacket because he would dislocate his shoulder. Like, that's what it reminded me of. The body's not meant to move like that. And it's unattractive and it's gross. It's like if you're doing a floor exercise for the gold medal. OK, that's fine.
Let me look at it.
But modeling a swimsuit. Like, that's not sexy. Doing a split is not sexy.
Okay.
Why is that a turn on to you? That's not a turn on.
Well, I hate to break down. Hold on. Let me find here. All right. She's walking. She's kind of got a chunky walk here. I don't know. Like, chunky's not the right word. She's not very, it's not the most sexy. Oh. Yeah. Here's what's unsexy. It's not the sexiest thing. It's the drop.
Like she like pounds the floor, yeah. Right?
She's too quick of a drop. She should have done a slow sultry split. Because that's when you're imagining. If she did that.
What are you imagining, Drip?
I'm imagining Paul Skeens throws eight innings of one run, and he's feeling down on himself because the Pirates don't give him any run support. And he goes back to his home that night, and she says, Paul, I want you to feel better. Let me do the splits over your cock here. And he's going, and he's going to pound.
And he flips her around like a helicopter?
Yeah. That's what I'm imagining, okay?
That's sick. It's gross.
When a woman does that, when a woman, like, she's presenting herself to you. She's ready, like.
Presenting herself?
Yeah, I don't, like, I'm imagining her bouncing up and down on Paul Skeens. Like, to me, that's hot. And I mean, not the actual drop. That wasn't that sexy. But if she did a sultry type of thing. There's a photo of like a famous photo of her on the balance beam where she's like hanging all off and her butt is way back there. And you're just like imagining stuffing your face in it.
And maybe you like it because you're a dog.
You might be a dog in me.
You might be a horny dog.
Okay.
Maybe it's not for me. Mm. Also, I would also get freaked out.
Sounds like Valdez is just like a boring sex kind of guy.
I would get freaked out when, I don't know if you had this or not, but at the roller rink, you would have,
we love the roller rink.
Yeah. You had the limbo, right? And when it get lower and lower and lower, it would be literally like a foot off the ground. Girls could take their skates, spread their legs open, and go under it.
Yeah, and hold their ankles.
Yeah, hold their ankles. Yeah. Like that's unnatural too. That's not attractive.
Okay, maybe not, but it is cool.
It is cool.
It's not gross. Like when a girl does the limbo, it's not gross.
It's just your legs aren't meant to do that. Like you give off this vibe like you're an action figure. You know what I mean? And you're just contorting it back and forth.
You know what stood out to me at the swimsuit show? Because actually she's not the only person that I saw do it. I don't know. Why is, I'm going to sound like Bickle here. Okay. Why is old Bethany Frankel in a G-string like, parading her butt around like
her saggy butt,
her saggy butt. Like, look, she's 54, whatever she is.
She looks great.
She looks good for 54. She's fine. I mean, I've never thought of Bethany Frankel as someone like a sex symbol. And she's been around for like 20 years, so I've never really been attracted to her.
Mm-hmm.
but it, like that wasn't doing it for me. But I saw everyone else saying, "Oh, way to go, Bethany!" Like,
well, it's just body positivity.
Okay, yeah. Like to me, that was, I don't want to be mean, but like that was grosser than Livy Dunn doing the split drop. Like I don't need to see Bethany Frankel's flat ass like walking up and down the runway. It was too much. Like it wasn't a flattering bathing suit for
right.
her look.
She shouldn't be wearing that. To be honest with you, no woman should be wearing that.
Yeah, I'm not. I haven't always been a big fan of that cut of swimsuit.
It doesn't mean there's zero. It's dental floss.
It was dental floss. She was wearing dental floss. I mean, you gotta have.
Yeah, the cojones on you to wear that.
Yeah,
G-string bikini.
You gotta have like the world's most perfect butt for that to look good. And Bethany Frankel looks great, but the most perfect butt she does not have.
She looks better in the mom bathing suit.
Yeah. Yes. So there was. We saw too much of this. Yeah.
Looking at her with this dental floss, you can it doesn't hide the cottage cheese.
It wasn't cottage cheese, her derriere wasn't
I know it's
firm.
There's 54 years of
abuse.
Abuse. I don't know. Oh, we're stupid.
Yeah.
I got one more gripe.
Yeah, who else was in that swimsuit runway?
No. I'm moving on.
Okay.
I'm going to alert you to something.
Oh, there's something in society that people are doing. I need to be aware of.
Yes, you need to be aware of this. Okay. And you're gonna hate me that I tell you.
Hmm.
And I just noticed it, maybe a couple months ago, and I didn't want to do the research, but I did the research. Because I needed to know why this was occurring. But I had no idea why these stupid Jeep Wranglers had 10 billion ducks inside of them. Have you noticed driving around Northern Virginia?
I'll be honest with
you. When you're out running errands and you see a Jeep Wrangler.
It's weird you brought this up because maybe I've just been oblivious to the whole thing. And I literally don't know anything about it.
I didn't either.
But I saw Junkies listener Al Rashid.
Yeah.
Out and about.
Okay.
And he was, I think it was Al Rashid. Yeah. He was driving like a black Jeep.
And not like a Grand Cherokee, a Wrangler.
A Wrangler, yeah. And he had, I saw him at Sheets. He had all these rubber duckies on his windshield. And I'd never seen that before. And I was like, what's with the rubber duckies? That was kind of a weird, like, I don't know, it's just so far out of left field. I was like, what is that? And he goes, it's a Jeep thing. All the Jeep Wrangler guys
I know.
Have these. And I'm like, I've never seen that before. And ever since he told me that, I've seen these stupid rubber duckies everywhere.
Everywhere.
Is this like a 2025 thing or they've been doing this for years?
So after I did the research, by the way, I didn't want to do the research because you know deep down, like the Jeep Wrangler people, they want you to question why they do it and then do the research to figure it out.
Well, I have heard that Wranglers or Jeep specifically are like it's a cult.
Yes,
like if you have a Jeep, they think like they wave to each other all
the
time.
Yes, they do that. Yeah. It's like having a Corvette. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It started from what I've learned. It started around 2020.
Okay, so it is relatively new.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a relatively new fad, where someone was being mean to somebody in a parking lot, and like they. So instead of being mean back, they gave them they put like a rubber ducky on their Jeep Wrangler and like wrote a note like "Have a great day." Like they killed him with kindness.
Ugh, that stinks.
I know, it's the dumbest story
that
ever.
That stinks.
It's the dumbest story ever. And then since then they've done this duck Jeep thing, where Jeep Wrangler owners are giving their rubber duckies to other Jeep Wrangler owners. Like, they leave it on their car, like, on their windshield.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And they're, like, trading them back and forth. And sometimes, you get a better rubber ducky if you have a more exotic Jeep Wrangler or a more rare Jeep Wrangler.
If you got, like, a standard wheel, like...
No, you still get one.
You get the dubbed ones.
But say you have a Jeep Sahara from the 90s. mm-hmm. right? Oh, you get a very exclusive duck.
What happens if you get like the Jurassic Park?
You probably get the best kind of.
I don't know.
And now here's the worst part is like other car owners are trying to like take this thing.
Oh no.
So like Toyota owners, which by the way, there couldn't be a billion more Toyotas. It's called Yoda Toyota, where they have like the little baby Yodas and they leave them on the Toyota cars.
Uh-huh.
There's like a shark one that people are doing. I want to blow my brains out.
What are Volkswagen Passat owners doing, huh? What are you going to get yourself into?
Hey, I'm just praying my car doesn't break down on the way to work. That's what I do.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, it's duck jeep or jeep ducking. It's a random act of kindness meant to spread joy and recognition amongst a jeep owner.
That sounds just like our sheep. Yeah.
Sorry, Al, but
interesting. Yeah. I wish I didn't know that. Now I'm gonna. It's like a piece of information.
Trust me. Once I noticed it, like cars running errands at the Giant or whatever. You can't unsee it. Every Jeep you see, you can't unsee the.
What happens if you
duckies.
Don't want to be in the rubber ducky club and you just got a Jeep, but you
because,
don't
yeah, because you're going off terrain a lot.
Yeah, off terrain, I get it. Yeah. Never mind. I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
Okay.
I thought you meant like bucking the trend off terrain.
No. Like you literally have to use it. Because you're hauling stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how to not be a part of the rubber ducky club.
Mm. I just assumed it'd been around for years once he told me about it, and I was just oblivious. But I don't co-sign that.
Drab's getting a Tesla, and he's going to start putting swastikas on other Teslas.
is that what Tesla owners do?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Okay. I might be getting a Tesla.
I know. Here, let me.
My BMW is so nubs. I've taken it to two mechanics in the last week, and I've left both of them without it getting fixed.
Here's some of the other ones. They have Buck Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. That?
All right. My guess, I would have left the bloody glove. Let's see. There's also sharks. Sharks are on Chevrolets. I mean, like, who doesn't have a Chevy? And there's also, here's one. Moo Moo Subaru.
I'm gonna censor myself.
What do you want to say, Drab? Hey, what do you want to say, Drab?
Here's actually what I did want to say about these.
Yeah,
I want you to notice a thing called the Toyota. I think it's called the Toyota Bent or something. Not Bent, but I don't know the phrase. I want the Toyota Camrys. I want you to notice. Every Toyota Camry has the corner of their bumper is dented.
Hold on, what?
Yes, it's a thing. Or if you notice a car that has a dented bumper in the corner, it's always a Toyota Camry.
Hold on. Manufacture it?
I don't know if it's a manufacturer thing. I don't know if it's just a Toyota driver thing, Camry driver thing. But if you notice a Toyota Camry, it probably has a dent in the corner of its bumper. Or if you...
Like the same spot or...
On either side. Someone told me about... I saw it like on Reddit one time. There's like a subreddit called like Toyota Bent or I don't know what it is. And I saw it one like suggested for you. And then I started paying attention. And you see them all the time. And it's always Camrys.
Huh.
So just, I want you to perk your eyes. Listeners will be on the lookout for rubber duckies now in Toyota Camry bumpers.
Hey, what can biddies give to each other?
What can they give to each other? I don't know. They'd have to know the other biddies are out there. Silky panties hang from the windshield from their mirror.
Yeah, you know, if you're a woman biddy, and you know this guy also listens to bit season, leave some panties on his windshield.
Yeah, I like that.
we're gonna need bit season stickers for your the back of your car.
Honk if you're bitty.
Yeah, honk if you're bitty. Yeah.
Hey, I'm begging someone to put to see you out in the wild and then put their panties on your car.
No. What some guy is gonna do is leave his street
his street jockeys.
Yeah. That's right. Not quite what I had in mind.
Stained fruit of the loom. Yeah, just take them off real quick and leave them on the side mirror.
Yeah. Just for drabby.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it for today's show. We appreciate you guys listening. We'll be back, I guess, on Friday because Valdez will be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we'll be a full crew back on Friday. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
Bye.